You're listening to the Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one show on iTunes that discusses the financial issues in divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst. And today on the show, we have a special guest. We have a therapist and author named Terry Gaspard. She's the author of Daughters of Divorce. Overcome the legacy of your parents' breakup and enjoy a happy, long-lasting relationship. Even though the title of this book is Daughters of Divorce, for the men who are listening to this show, don't be turned away. This is a great book that talks about and can help anyone who's really experienced a childhood trauma. This is not a memoir. While Terry shares her personal experiences both in the book and also in the episode, this is information based on science on how both divorce and trauma can affect your relationships and how to turn that negative experience or that traumatic experience into something positive. So without further ado, here's my interview with Terry. Today we have a very special guest. I have with me on the line Terry Gaspard, a therapist, college instructor, and the subject of today is she's an author of the book Daughters of Divorce, Overcome the Legacy of Your Parents' Breakup and Enjoy a Happy, Long-Lasting Relationship. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
Let's start with your own divorce story and also weave in the daughter factor as well.
Sure. Well, that's fairly easy to do because I grew up in a family with four girls. I have three sisters and we were all clustered pretty close in age. And I'm from Los Angeles. And divorce, as you know, became quite popular in the late 1960s in California with the no-fault divorce legislation. So my parents divorced when I was very young, and it was a conflictual divorce, and I have to say we were split up a lot, my sisters and I, and as a result of that, we didn't have a lot of consistency with both of our parents. That was before co-parenting and sharing time, you know, between homes, living in two homes was really popular. So back then in the 1970s, you know, you were with one parent or another parent. And for me, that often meant that I didn't have access to all three of my sisters. And then another thing that complicated our lives was that both of our parents got remarried fairly quickly. My dad married someone with a child. My mother married someone who didn't have a child. She subsequently, about 2 years later, ended up getting another divorce. So when I say in my interviews and in the book, divorce runs in my family, it runs in my family for that reason, but two of my sisters have been divorced, and my grandparents and great-grandparents have also been divorced, and then my nephews have been divorced. My own children, fortunately, I have two grown kids and one teenager, have not been divorced. It does sometimes feel like divorce is kind of wired into my body and I'm going to recreate it in my own life. So that sort of set the stage for a lot of the reasons why I wrote the book.
And can you tell us also about your professional credentials? I know I mentioned that you are a therapist and also a college instructor, but why don't you give us your professional background?
Sure. I went to college in California when I was young and originally wanted to be a teacher. So I studied that and then I decided I was really interested in psychology. So studied psychology, majored in that and became a licensed clinical social worker and have really focused my practice on working with women because so many of the women that I work with have low self-esteem and they have trust issues. And I also work with families. I work with children. I do work with some men and that they do like to read my blog. I kind of came around to specializing in divorce because I was always going back and researching it as I've also been a college teacher all along. So as a college professor, interested in research, having access to a lot of subjects, found I was always studying divorce. So I started researching divorce in the 1990s. And then kind of put it aside. I had some publications I felt like I had studied a lot and then put it aside for a while. Got a divorce myself, ended up getting remarried, and then went back and did this huge study of over 300 daughters of divorce, which led to the publication of the book with Source Book fairly recently.
And that brings up a nice segue, which is Daughters of Divorce isn't just a personal story by any means. It's actually rooted in science. Is that correct?
Definitely. I studied with a great author and researcher, Judith Wallerstein. I had a conversation with her before she died. I've really learned a lot from researchers such as E. Mavis Hetherington from the University of Virginia. So I've always been one to delve into the research, see what studies have been done, and all of my studies were done in the college setting. They were all supported by the college and also Rhode Island College, where I got my master's degree. And so they were deemed to be reliable, valid studies. And the last one that I did was a very in-depth look with extensive interviews of all the women who identified as being daughters of divorce because their parents had, you know, gone through that. And they weren't all negative stories. And so what we did was my daughter and I wrote the book with a lot of the issues in mind. Each chapter describes a key theme and how to work through it so that they can move beyond the past and have successful relationships of their own. And the book is filled with research, but it's also filled with poignant stories which tell you about how the women have coped with the different themes, like the father-daughter relationship, difficulty with being vulnerable, dealing with money, dealing with intimacy, and how they've gone on to kind of use certain steps to feel more competent in terms of romantic relationships. So it's definitely a self-help relationship book with a research background to it.
And you mentioned something important in that answer, in that you go through both the positive and the negative aspects. Negative meaning kind of the way that a lot of people might react or replicate some of the trauma in their relationships, and positive in the sense that there are lots of helpful tips and information you provide to help overcome those past experiences. And I want to dig into a little bit to some of those in a little bit more depth. Let's start with something you mentioned about vulnerability. Why don't you tell us how kind of divorce can have that impact, and maybe some practical advice as to how you can kind of get past that?
Well, vulnerability is really related to trust. And they kind of go hand in hand. And so when you trust someone, when you feel that you can count on them, Sean, and they're going to be there for you and not abandon you, you're more likely to be vulnerable and open with them about your thoughts, your feelings, your wishes, you know, maybe concerns you have, like, you know, how the money's being spent. That's an issue that's been a big theme in my life. And so you trust someone, you share certain things, and you hopefully don't fear that they're going to leave you as a result of you being open and honest with them. So that's where vulnerability and trust goes hand in hand. But because so many of us, including myself, have had to deal with feeling mistrustful that our relationships were long-standing and going to endure the test of time, regardless of any mistakes that we made or problems that we had, we tend to hold back. We tend to go inside of ourselves and internalize a lot of our thoughts and feelings, and then we don't communicate them that well. And along with that, it comes a feeling like the other person doesn't care about me, they're not there for me, and that mistrust plays itself out in a lot of ways where many women actually might even leave a relationship. That's what happened in my own family. It's happened to a lot of the people that I know. And the women now are actually getting divorced more so than men. 2/3 of divorces are initiated by women. Daughters of divorce are twice as likely to get a divorce than their counterparts who aren't from divorced homes. So this feeling of I can't be vulnerable, I can't trust you, you kind of walk on eggshells. And then it's kind of a weird mix where you don't really share things that are important to you, but then sometimes you might blame the other person and mistrust them. So it creates a lack of intimacy. And so I talk a lot in the book how being vulnerable and learning to trust yourself, your own judgment, is important. Like, obviously, if you pick a partner who you can't trust, you know, if they're not consistent, then that's not going to work for you from the beginning. But assuming you are in a relationship with someone who's trustworthy, why not work on extending trust and being vulnerable with them and sharing things? Like, if you overspent when you went shopping, or you forgot to pay a bill, or, you know, you have anxiety about certain things. Maybe you're fearful that they're having conversations with one of the women that they work with, or you overhear them on the phone talking to someone. All those things that come up in day-to-day life, those, when they're shared appropriately without a lot of fear and suspicion, those can typically be worked through. But the problem with a lot of women that I've worked with, and this has happened in my own life, we bring it to a heightened degree and it becomes very intense. And then it's hard kind of to rebound from that and come back and feel comfortable with your partner.
You mentioned your relationship briefly with money. And there's a chapter in the book on self-reliance and how that can be both a good and a bad thing. Do you mind telling us a little bit more, both your experience and that still applies today, and also kind of what your research has shown you?
That's great. My research has shown that many individuals raised in divorced homes, not just women, but I'll tell you the spin that often women have on it, but individuals raised in divorced homes almost become caretakers and controlling about money at times, because we were in the position of being what's referred to as little adults. We grew up kind of fast and maybe worried too much about, you know, who was going to pay the rent, how was money going to be handled. There was perhaps some chaos, some stress. In my case, my parents are both deceased, by the way, so I'm comfortable saying that my sisters have read the book, that they didn't get along when it came to money. So a lot of their arguments were about money. And then after the divorce, there was a lot of disagreement about, you know, child support and how that was going to all play out. So I get very anxious about money, and I tend to store money away, but not really be very honest and forthcoming about it. And I want to have a lot of control over the checkbook. And that's not really a very good way to build intimacy in a relationship, because I'm not likely to share with my partner how I want to spend money or talk to him about planning for the future. And those types of interactions are pretty typical for a lot of couples. But for myself, I have to really work on, you know, sharing, you know, being able to talk about how we spend our money and not be filled with a lot of concern and worry. And it's not about my money versus his money. That's how it plays itself out for me. It's really how we can kind of discuss and share our resources in a way that really benefits our family, so we can do things like plan nice vacations. Because my first response when my husband says, "You want to go on vacation," is, "No, we can't do that. We don't have the money." Mm-hmm. And he'll just look at me really perplexed. "What do you mean? We don't have the money? I thought we were putting money away in a joint account for those kinds of expenses." You know, so I have anxiety about money, but I think it was because I had too much worry about it as I was growing up. And I have actually encountered that with many of the individuals, not just women, but women and men, that they had, you know, they had concern about money and how things were going to be paid for. And money, as you well know, are aware of, is a big area of conflict for couples anyway. You know, it's a hard thing to talk about, but given the backgrounds that I mentioned, it makes it even more difficult. So I always get back, Sean, to awareness.
And Terry, you mentioned something that you worry a lot about money, but at the same time, you're very protective of it. And it sounds like you're self-reliant, but not necessarily self-confident.
Exactly. Self-reliant to a fault. It's kind of a double-edged sword. That's the way we describe it in that chapter. Like, you would see me multitasking, you know, if I tell you all the things that I do during the day, going between my college classes and my therapy sessions and my grocery shopping, whatever. And you would probably think, as some people do, wow, she really accomplishes a lot. Multitasking is something that a lot of women do well. And I think I do it very well because I started doing it when I was quite young. You know, my mom had to work two jobs and there were, you know, there was a lot of that going on. So I was alone a lot and managed a lot. But I don't feel it's an asset in all situations. Like, it's good that I can get a lot accomplished, that I can perform all these things and handle a lot of tasks, but it's not good that I don't feel I can be interdependent on my husband. And in the past, other relationships have really failed because of that. That sharing, that vulnerability, that trust, that knowing that if I give this information to someone, I'm going to feel confident in myself and in them. So I'm overconfident in some ways that I can handle things on my own, which can lead some women to go. That's why we tend to get a divorce more often, because when things get difficult, we tend to think, well, I don't need my partner. I don't need my husband. I can do this on my own. I've done it before. I'm very, you know, independent. And that attitude, that ultra kind of self-reliance, can lead a person to give up on love too quickly and throw in the towel so fast that they don't even slow down to see, well, maybe this isn't an issue that's really worth ending the relationship over, if you're following me.
No, for sure. And can you transition a little bit to how divorce can impact relationships in the workplace? And I don't mean romantic ones. I mean in a professional sense.
Well, sometimes, you know, trust issues, frankly, are just that. If you have trust issues, you might at times mistrust some of your colleagues and coworkers. So you have to be aware that certain situations are going to make you more vulnerable. Certain people, certain, you know, things that you'll come up against. And for instance, it could be you're a daughter of divorce and your boss has some resemblance to your father who left when you were young. So you're very fearful that, you know, they're not going to accept you and that you're not doing a good job. So it might make you a little, you know, kind of non-assertive. You may perhaps don't speak your mind or feel confident. In my case, because if you read my book, you'll see that my mom was the one that initially left. I actually have the reverse. When I have a supervisor or a coworker who is a woman and in some ways reminds me of, you know, my past, I can become less confident and feel too threatened and stressed out by that relationship. So what I'm really learning to do, and I teach other people to do, is a lot of mindfulness. Like, step back, be aware of those feelings. Are they from the past or the present? Instead of jumping to conclusions and assuming that person wants the worst for you and is trying to catch you doing something wrong, you know, don't shoot that email back right away. Don't send that text message when you're feeling a little threatened. Stop, pause, reflect, and, you know, maybe even think about it for a few hours or overnight and get a better perspective on it. Unless that person has really given you reason not to trust them, then maybe you're reacting from some old baggage.
Let's flip the script a little bit. You know, you talk about in the book how if you understand the context of divorce, that it can be a positive thing. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit, being a daughter of divorce, so to speak, can be beneficial to your relationships and your life in general?
Well, you know about the fragility of love and you value it and you often put a high value on it. And you have a sacred place for love in your own life. And you really want to have a very close, intimate relationship, kind of to find the love that you lost. And so you're very sincere. You can take it kind of hard at times when things don't work out, but you have a lot to give. You have a lot of insight. And you may, you know, have ideals about, okay, this is how I want things to be. You know, I want to have a good relationship or perhaps a good marriage. Most people do want to get married eventually. They don't all do that. And so, you know, with your eyes wide open, you can go into a situation and try to recreate a different kind of relationship than the one that you grew up with and be more aware of kind of some of the red flags of people that you know are not going to be a good match. Just a quick example, my parents were complete opposites, personality-wise, and what their interests were. And it took me a while to figure out that I was reenacting that. You know, I was dating, and my first husband and I are complete opposites. I say that in the book, and he would say that too. Nothing wrong with that. We're just very different in the way we see the world, our interests. And so what I came to learn through analyzing and going back and looking at my own parents and their marriage and divorce was I don't need to recreate that. So my husband that we've been married for 19 years and I, we actually enjoy doing a lot of the same things together, and we have similar values and beliefs about things. So I do recommend, in fact, one of the first steps in the book is to go back and, you know, kind of take a look at the past. Use it as a way to kind of screen out potential partners, and certainly someone that if you're thinking about getting married, and so that you're not just reenacting by, you know, instincts and intuition, because sometimes that will fail us, but you're being a little bit more practical about love. I hope that answers some of your questions.
No, most certainly. And so for the people who want to learn a little bit more about you, your work, obviously the book, but what's the best place for people to contact you?
Well, I have a website, and it's movingpastdivorce.com. And on that website, there are blogs, free blogs, and a lot of bloggers interact with each other, and they read them to give them an information on a variety of topics related to divorce, including what we've talked about today. And they can leave a message for me if they want. And I have coaching available on there if they want to sign up for that through Skype or through voice coaching. I also am very active on Twitter at Move Past Divorce. That's Move Past Divorce. And I post a lot of articles and, you know, different inspirational quotes, things like that. And then the other way they can reach me, which is very popular for a lot of people who like Facebook, is Moving Past Divorce has a Facebook page. And there they can, you know, obviously get access to a lot more information.
That's great. So you're still working with people one-on-one in addition to your research.
Yes, I do see some clients, and I do a lot of coaching. Well, not a lot. I take on a certain amount of coaching, especially in the summer when I'm not teaching. So, you know, I mean, during the school year, I'm a little busier with classes and stuff. I don't do as much, but I'm also in the process of writing my second book.
Oh, excellent. Well, we look forward to reading that when it comes out. And in the meantime, we'll be certain to get Daughters of Divorce, Overcoming the Legacy of Your Parents' Breakup, and Enjoy a Happy, Long-Lasting Relationship. Terry, thank you so much for joining us and sharing so much about your story.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sean.
Terry has some great insights, and what she shares in the book is universal. It's something you want to check out, male or female or in between, and it's not just applicable to the women. As I said, this is something that has great advice for anyone who's experienced a childhood trauma, and even if it's not you, maybe someone you know. This is great information to help them out. So be sure to check the show notes and my website for more information on how to contact Terry and to buy the book, Daughters of Divorce. Now, before you go, I want to make sure you don't miss three really important resources. They're all available at divorceandyourmoney.com. You visit the website, the first thing you do is you'll see a space to sign up for the newsletter, and it has exclusive information that you won't find anywhere else, only to my email subscribers. The second thing is you should get my book, if you haven't done it already, Divorce and Your Money, The No-Nonsense Guide. It's super inexpensive because I want you to be able to access this information. It'll save you a lot of money later down the line. It gives you an overview of all the major financial issues that you need to discuss and think about as you go through the divorce process. It's a lot more complicated than you think it is in terms of what you need to know, but the book simplifies things, and it also tells you things you might not have even thought about thinking about. So definitely get my book. It's available on Amazon, both in paperback and Kindle format. And the third thing is, for some of you, you need one-on-one coaching, and we can dig deep into specific financial questions or concerns or issues that you're having as you go through the divorce process. Maybe you're early in the process and you're kind of just trying to figure out all the information you need to gather. Maybe you had that first consultation and your attorney gave you a super complicated sheet of information that you need to fill out, and you might not have ever looked at this financial information before. You want someone just to give it a second set of eyes or help you walk through specific items and what you should be including or not including. That's something that we can do in a consultation session. Or maybe you're already towards the tail end of your divorce and you're about to sign the papers, but you know what? You want to get an opinion on that settlement to make sure it is something that is feasible for you financially, not just when you sign it, but 5 or 10 or 20 years down the line, because the financial decisions you make today during the divorce process can affect you for the rest of your life. And lastly, subscribe to the show if you haven't already. It's available on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And please leave a review on iTunes, which helps other people discover the show. And share it with a friend. You know, if there's just one other person that you share this information with, it takes 30 seconds, send them a link to this episode or send them a link to the Divorce and Your Money website and just say, hey, I know you're thinking about divorce. I know you're going through the process. Check this out. Word of mouth is one of the most powerful ways to help other people, and it's free. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Thank you for listening.